Hezbollah's Secretary General Seyed Hassan Nasrallah, his first speech since EU blacklisted its military wing. Let's take a listen.
Sovereignty to Lebanon once again, and it gave to Lebanon an enhanced position in the region and in Lebanon in general. And so, my sisters, this resistance which you support will remain a fork in the eyes of the Zionists and in the eyes of anyone who wants to do harm to Lebanon and to this dear country. And because the resistance, because it has this presence, because it has this efficiency, because it has this influence on the equations of this the region, this resistance was and still is a subject of focus inside Lebanon. In Lebanon, they always speak about their resistance and its weapons and its role, and also in the Arab world, in the region, and on the global arena. There is focus on the resistance, whether it be negative focus or positive focus. Positive focus by those who believe in the resistance, those who support the resistance, who depend on the resistance and pin their hopes on the resistance and see the future in the resistance and view the resistance as a source of pride and strength for them. And when it comes to the negative focus, it goes for those who are against the resistance, those who consider the resistance as a threat to their expansionist policies, to their occupation, hegemony. And it's very natural. When a resistance has such efficiency, it's natural for it to be a focus of such attention, because it is not something marginal. And also because the resistance has all of this presence, because it has this efficiency and this influence, hence it is always a target. Because of this, as we said just a few nights ago, it is always targeted on all levels, meaning for the sake of eliminating, crushing, ending the resistance, and of course targeting it from the security perspective, military perspective, political, moral perspective, psychological, economic, social perspective, all these perspectives. And some steps or some of the decisions which we will speak about tonight, they might not have a big effect, only maybe a moral and psychological effects sometimes. And so it is natural that this resistance, which is present, efficient and influential, it is natural for such a resistance to be targeted. And from here, I would like to refer to the issue which imposes itself on us tonight. I had planned before to speak about other issues. However, after what was announced, the EU countries taking the decision to blacklist what they called the military wing of Hezbollah, to place it on the terrorist list or designate it as a terrorist organization. Now we have to speak about this subject, and anyway, within this subject we might also have some other perspectives which I wanted or intended to speak about in this Ramadan evening. Now, this decision was announced. It was announced in the media, as is well known. There is no official statement as of yet, official statement which says exactly what the decision is, what are the motives, what is the evidence, what is the logic behind it. Until now, we only are seeing guesses. We are only, of course, witnessing assumptions. So in light of this, we want to say, as I said, point one, point two, point three, as usual. First of all, as usual, when it comes to us in the resistance, in accordance with our morale, we must express our thanks to all of the political figures, the political leaders and religious figures, and the different political factions and parties which rejected and condemned this decision. And they in Lebanon were many in number, those who condemned and rejected the decision. And we will hear and we will see many of these very good stances and these patriotic, honest stances. So, first of all, actually, yesterday, all those who took stances and expressed their stances and rejected and condemned, this was something we expected from them, and it is logical for them to take such a step, especially as many of these political officials stood with us in these very same days during the July 2006 war, when we were subject to strikes and bombings and we were being threatened to be crushed, and their decision was with us, and their national stance was in support of us. So now, with two lines on a piece of paper, although that it does have its value, which I will speak about, however, it was logical for these factions to take such a stance. Number two, very honestly as well, we in Hezbollah were not surprised by this decision, and we expected this decision from a long time ago. What is very strange is that this decision came late. They were always working on issuing such a stance from the EU. Number three is that the Israelis spoke very clearly. There is no need for me to analyze or expect or predict. Anybody who listens yesterday and before that and tomorrow and after, anyone who listens to the Israelis, they themselves are saying that this decision is a result of the diplomatic efforts, of course, between brackets diplomatic. A few days ago, when Netanyahu was rebuking the Europeans, when he was insulting the Europeans because they didn't take this stance as of yet, they named this diplomatic efforts. It's very clear that the Israelis considered that this is a victory for them, and they were very happy with this. In between brackets, I'd like to tell some Lebanese, if there are some anywhere in Lebanon who want to be happy, let them hide their happiness so that they not be at the same level of happiness with Netanyahu. Although their efforts and aspirations are more, they wanted actually Hezbollah as a whole to be considered a terrorist organization. This issue of political military wing, this is the work of the British. They always try and find such exits. All of the measures, everything points to the fact that Israel, together with America, exerted huge efforts, and they also exerted great pressures on the countries of the European Union in order to take such a stance. And so we don't need a lot of conclusions, a lot of thinking, looking for information. The Israelis are the ones who stand behind this decision first and foremost. And they are saying this. The Israelis themselves are saying this. The Americans are with them 100%. Who amongst the Europeans was enthusiastic? And then, as a result of developments in the region, who amongst the Arabs also came in and push towards the adoption of such a stance? This will all become clear. However, what we can say is that this decision, in its form and in its content, its background and its motives, is Israeli, and it serves Israeli interests. Number four is that the deliberations in the European Union, the discussions which took place and the contacts also which were held over months and over years as well, they all show, this is proof of my conclusion, they all show that Europe bowed down. It was not convinced. Europe bowed down, and this is worse. Sometimes we see some countries which are convinced and they take a decision based on their convictions, and they say, okay, it seems that there are some suspicions. However, what is worse is that countries bow down. 28 countries bow down, and some of these countries consider themselves essential, significant countries in the world. They bow down to the US and Israeli will. Evidence of this is that every time the issue was proposed, they never reached a result. Why? If there was really a logic, if there was evidence, if there was any reason, justification, if there was anything they could build upon to take such a stance based upon the laws which they have, it wouldn't have needed years or months. However, This means that inside the EU countries there were some who considered that there is no logic and no evidence and that this step is illegal, but they were subject to pressures and threats until in the end they bowed down and gave in to the threats. And so we in this issue, we are looking at a European Union which is giving in and is bowing down to American and Israeli will. And so not for one moment, and if you agree with me, never, I did not feel for one moment that this decision was a European sovereign decision. It was dictated upon the Europeans. There might be some countries who agreed, like the English, for example, or the British. And this stance also is not in agreement with what Europe says when it comes to principles and values. When it designates a resistance as terrorism, and it also isn't in agreement and in accordance with European interests. Let's put the values and principles aside. If we take a look at the interests, it is very clear that there are some who wanted to push the European countries into a confrontation which serves their interests and not the interests of the Europeans themselves. And those who push the Europeans and use the Europeans are the Israelis in behaving in a hostile way towards the resistance in the region and has widespread Arab and Muslim support. What is the European interests in taking this step? What is the interest of the EU countries which voted on such a stance or on such a decision? And with respect to the principles and the laws and values, at least tell us, until now, no Mohammadi has told us, there are some analysts in Lebanon and in the region, we can assume, you can assume, sometimes they say that it's related to the operation which took place abroad. Some say it's about Hezbollah's involvement in Syria. Some say it's about something else. Let them tell us what is their logic and their rationale in order to discuss this. I don't want to take your time tonight by speaking about assumptions because there are a lot of assumptions which are being built upon. Let us wait. In a few days, we are hearing that the official statement will be released. Let's see, in the official statement, will there be evidence and rationale, and based upon the evidence, we will then discuss and see if this is in accordance with their principles and values. Anyway, throughout modern history, that the European stance isn't subject and isn't in accordance with the principles and values. Evidence of this is Israel. Why isn't Israel designated as terrorist and listed on the terrorism list? Why is it that the terrorist wing in Israel, why isn't it blacklisted, meaning the Israeli army? And you, the Europeans, you confess that Israel is occupying now Arab territories in the West Bank and in the Golan Heights, and they also have a project regarding settlements in the West Bank and also buying products from the West Bank and the West Bank settlers. So you, the Europeans, confess that the Israeli army is occupying a territory and is not implementing international resolutions and hasn't been implementing them for tens of years. And the whole world, this doesn't need investigation, the whole world witnessed on the TV screens the massacres carried out by the Israelis in Jenin, the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, in Lebanon, and in April 1996, in July 2006. So, those people, the Israelis, who are killing and committing massacres and occupying the territories of others and displacing people from their territory and preventing a complete people from coming back to their territories and to their homes, and those who are stealing their properties, aren't they a terrorist armed wing? Can't they be considered as a terrorist state? And so it's very clear that it's not about principles and values, it's about interests and it's about pressures. Interests and pressures. So this is our evaluation of the European stance. Now let's speak about the value of this decision. How does it affect us? What are the results of this decision? Where will it lead us to? And hence, how shall we deal with this decision? First of all, the value of this decision is a moral value. For this reason, at the beginning, I spoke about not only security targeting, politically targeting, and targeting the resistance morally. Yes, it has a moral value, and it has a political value and a psychological value. What does this mean? We, of course, we won't go along with this designation. It's clear that they are targeting the resistance. They are saying this resistance, this Lebanese resistance, is a terrorist organization. This is how we translate the decision. Of course, we won't go along with this designation. It's clear that they are targeting the resistance. They are saying this resistance, this Lebanese resistance, is a terrorist organization. This is how we translate the decision. Now, in this country, when we have, and we still have, we had and we still have resistance fighters who confronted the Israeli occupation, the occupation which occupied around half of Lebanon, and they fought against this occupation. They fought with honesty and they put up with a lot of pains and repercussions. Many of them fell as martyrs and many were wounded as well. And thousands of them also were taken prisoner and spent their youth in Israeli prisons and detention centers, and they were able to retrieve the territory for the people and retrieve the dignity and sovereignty for this nation, and they still take up arms in order to defend their country and their people and their sovereignty and their dignity. They defend anyone who wants to invade and assault. And then we come to these people who are the sons of Lebanon and are supported, and they say they are terrorists. This is an insult. This is an insult. And this is something very bad. It's very bad for the resistance fighters whom you accuse of terrorism, for the people and the supporters who are part of the resistance and support this resistance. It's an insult for their country and for the government. You say that you respect the government, the consecutive governments which in their cabinet manifestos supported the resistance in different forms, although the last form or formula was army, resistance and people. And so this is an insult for Lebanon, it's an insult for the Lebanese government, for the Lebanese people, and not only for those resistance fighters. Now, we believe that it's an insult. However, let's also be clear. I'd like to tell you, all of you, that this insult won't touch our morale. It won't harm our morale one bit. It's about morale. This won't harm our morale one bit. And these resistance fighters were always insulted. Over 30 years, they have always been insulted and they have always been accused. They have always been blacklisted, placed on the terrorist lists of America, Canada, and Holland. To be insulted because you're defending your country, your people, and your dignity, and your sovereignty, and your land, and your honor, this is one of the repercussions. It's one of the repercussions, and it's a kind of sacrifice which we make on this path. Just like one other sacrifice and repercussion is to be killed, or for your beloved to be killed, or for you to be wounded, or for your home to be destroyed, or for you to be displaced from your home, or for your property to be destroyed, for your shops and for your fields to be destroyed. One part of sacrifice is to be insulted, to be accused, to be cursed. And this is something which exists. It has existed ever since the beginning, since this resistance came into being. And so I believe that this insult won't touch the morale of the resistance. And actually, these countries insulted themselves and they insulted their own principles and they insulted their interests and they insulted their own sovereignty when they bowed down to the American and Israeli will, more than they insulted the resistance. This is first of all. This is the moral aspect. Second of all, and this is dangerous, the legal perspective. It's dangerous from which angle? These countries must be aware and their ambassadors in Lebanon must send them, because of course the ambassadors are listening to what is being said. These countries are providing a legal cover for Israel in order for Israel to launch any aggression against Lebanon. Why? Because then Israel could say that we are waging a war against terrorism. We are waging a war against a terrorist group. We are bombing sites for terrorists. We are destroying terrorist sites or terrorist institutions. And so these countries, and here I want to be very clear, and so these countries are making themselves complete partners when it comes to responsibility regarding any Israeli aggression against Lebanon or against the resistance or against any target of the resistance, any site in Lebanon for the resistance. Why? Because they provided a cover. Although the Israelis don't need such a cover, but you're providing a service free of charge and they don't need it. However, they are providing such a cover. And also in this second aspect, I would like to say that this won't touch our will, although we are aware that the EU countries are providing a legal cover to Israel. They won't harm our will, because all the previous wars which were waged did have such a cover in one way or another when it comes to silence or a cover or support or etc. And anyway, when it comes to us, and we are now in the days of July, you all remember in July 2006 when we showed perseverance, when we stood together with you, and when we fought militarily or politically or socially in July 2006, Europe wasn't only with Israel, but 90% of the world was back then with Israel. And regardless or despite this, Israel wasn't able to defeat Lebanon or the resistance in Lebanon or the people of Lebanon. The third point, yes, we could say that this European stance has repercussions and results. For example, tomorrow they could, for example, take the money of the so-called military wing. They could freeze the assets, freeze the money in the banks, or not provide them with visas, prevent them from participating in conferences, things like that. What we heard over the past few days on the internet, the jokes which we saw on this decision are enough. For example, we are upset because this year we won't be able to go to Sardinia, nor can we go for a trip to another place. There's no such thing. We, even in holidays, we are Lebanese. We are nationalists. We don't go to the south. We either go to the south, sorry, or to the Bekaa, or to Mount Lebanon. We don't go outside Lebanon. So this visa which you were giving us before, leave it to you. Congratulations with your visa. We don't have any money. We don't have money in any European banks, nor in any banks anywhere in the world. Even in banks in Lebanon, we can no longer place money because they're afraid. We can no longer deposit money because they're afraid of the Americans. We don't have money as a political party, nor as officials, nor as mujahideen or resistance fighters. We don't have such money. So from this angle, we consider, what are the repercussions? If you want to translate it on the ground, some are saying that they will be able to isolate the resistance financially and economically, but there's no such thing. Anyway, from a long time ago, we had a conviction, and day by day, we believe we are right. If we want to stand against Israel and Israel's project and its ambitions, we shouldn't have economic projects in the world as a resistance. We shouldn't deposit money outside in the world if we have money. We shouldn't have property also abroad, because the world which supports Israel one day will take control of this money. Anyway, I would like to repeat once again, because we I'm speaking now to the Association of Support of Resistance. I would like to say that whether in Lebanon or outside Lebanon, we don't have economic projects. We don't have investment projects. We have services, yes. However, projects which give us revenue and give us money, we don't have such projects. And I'd also like to take advantage of this occasion to tell all the Lebanese, because there was a lot of confusion before. If anyone tells you that I have a project and I have this money and come and help and contribute and the revenues will go to Hezbollah, Hezbollah has a share, then this person would be a liar. Very clearly, this person would be a liar. And I'd also like to take advantage of this occasion to tell all the Lebanese, because there was a lot of confusion before. If anyone tells you that I have a project and I have this money and come and help and contribute and the revenues will go to Hezbollah, Hezbollah has a share, then this person would be a liar. Very clearly, this person would be a liar. We don't have any commercial or economic financial investment projects in Lebanon or outside Lebanon. We do have some support which we get from some people in the world and from you. This money comes and we fight with this money. In accordance with what we have, we confront the enemy. But first and foremost, in accordance with our will and with our faith. In the end, it doesn't have a real influence or big effect or impact. Number four, we want to take a look at the effect of this resolution on Lebanon as a country, as a state, as a government, and as the economy of Lebanon. Yesterday, the European envoys in Lebanon tried to belittle it. They said that the support for Lebanon will continue, financial support will continue, the intent to preserve Lebanon's sovereignty will continue, or Lebanon's stability will continue. I just call now for waiting and taking a look. There's nothing until now. There are some of our colleagues in March 14 for 2 days have begun to speak in a very, very strange way. The Europeans are saying, no, we'll continue to support Lebanon financially. We'll continue to, we continue to be keen on preserving Lebanon's stability. But March 14 says the country is being destroyed. The country is being sabotaged because of Hezbollah. But anyway, I'd like to say, when it comes to how this European stance impacts Lebanon as a state and as the economy, let's say this needs focus. We must take a look. We must wait and see, and it's a responsibility of all sides. And based upon this, we'll see what measures we can take and what stance we can take. I have a few other words to say. I have a few words to say to the EU and then to the Lebanese. To the European Union, I say that usually any decision has a goal. The goal of this decision which you took is very clear. Its goal is to make us bow down, to make us give in. Its goal is to impose on us to retreat, to impose on us to hesitate, to make us afraid, to make us concerned. And I'd like to tell you that you will not get anything from this decision. The only thing you will get is disappointment and failure. Nothing else. Anybody who believes that the resistance which confronted in these same days, in July 2006, the strongest army in the region over 33 days, and it was spilling blood, anybody who imagines that such a resistance could give in to such a silly resolution or such a silly decision is imagining, is dreaming, or is ignorant. This decision won't be able to achieve any of its goals. And so we call on them to taking back this mistake. We don't want them to continue with their mistake. The Lebanese officials are saying revise this decision. Good. And we also call on them to take back this decision, because it won't lead to any results. Anyway, our stance towards this decision is the same stance which we said on 25th of May 2000. I repeat, in simple terms, this decision, take it, put it in the glass of water, and do what you want with it, practically. And also now a few words to Lebanon, to the Lebanese interior front. We heard over the past few days, and we also read statements and analysis and stances from some political factions in the other group in March 14. It just so happens that a few days ago I called for calm, and I called for not entering into strong arguments. And so I want to preserve this calmness. I don't want to enter into heated debates. So I don't want to comment on the content of what was said or the background. I don't want to comment on the results. However, I would like to say, I would like to tell these groups from the March 14 Alliance, you won't be able to use this decision in Lebanese internal politics. If anyone in the March 14 group believes, as they say, that they have now something they can use, this decision, they can use it to isolate us, besiege us. Imagine, for example, some said that this decision stresses that a government should be formed without Hezbollah being included. But the Europeans themselves said they don't have a problem if Hezbollah participates in the government. So here they're taking a further stance than the Europeans, the March 14. Usually that's the case in Lebanon. They're going very far. They're going too far in this point. I say don't use this internally in Lebanon. Before the European decision is just the same as after the European decision internally in Lebanon, in Lebanese political calculations. The strength of each political faction is clear, is well known. Nothing changes. And I don't want to take too long because of the iftar and the ceremony, people want to go home, but let me give you a joke, let me say a joke here. I'm thinking of proposing to my colleagues a government without Hezbollah won't be formed, and this is logic, of course, not because we really want to take part very much. We really love to take part in this government, however, due to reasons which now is not the time to refer to. Now, as a joke, although I don't accept this, I propose that our ministers in the upcoming Lebanese government be from the military wing of Hezbollah, for example. So I say, don't depend, don't put your money on this decision or on using it in Lebanese internal politics. This won't lead anywhere, and in this way you'll be committing another mistake. You will add it to your previous mistakes, your previous political mistakes. We don't need to repeat the mistakes you have committed before. The calculus of the and the calculations inside the country are different, and so people are called upon once again to speak to one another, as we said a few nights ago, and to hold dialogue with one another, and to search for a solution to form a government, a political government, which is capable of protecting Lebanon and capable of rising with Lebanon. My dear colleagues, if they don't want to solve Lebanon's problems, at least let this government keep Lebanon safe from the hurricanes. The hurricanes which are moving around us in more than one Arab country and in the region. This is the responsibility of the Lebanese. So let us not waste our time when people speak about besieging the others or provoking the others or taking advantage of stances from the outside countries. Let's not waste our time with this. My dear sisters, the strength of this resistance stems from its belief in Allah the Great, in the belief in Allah, and in the justice of its cause, and in the support of its people, and in its permanent readiness to give and to sacrifice with ourselves, with our spirits, with our souls, with what is most beloved to us, without any calculations, and because of the righteousness of its path. And for this reason it remained and achieved victory, and for this reason it will continue to be present, and it will achieve victory, God willing. Thank you very much once again, and I pray to God that He make these days and these nights blessed nights and days for you all, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Hezbollah Secretary General Said Hassan Nasrallah talking there to his supporters and, of course, to the world. His speeches are listened to across the world. This is the first speech.